Verbally Effective with Ina Esco is an interview-style podcast that intersects art, culture, politics, and entertainment with a Memphis focus. Each week, I'm joined by a featured guest with roots in Memphis. Verbally Effective delves into each guest's personal journey to uncover the incredible stories fueling their purpose, the highs and lows of their pursuits, and how through their passion, they are moving the culture forward. Greetings, greetings, and welcome to another edition of the Verbally Effective Podcast. I am your host, your double E, Ina Esco. And, you know, this is the pod that intersects art, culture, politics, entertainment with a Memphis flair. And you did hear me say art because I have a beautiful young lady here with me today that I work with here at the Cossett Library in Memphis, Tennessee. She is the artist in residence here. She's also a photojournalist and an interdisciplinary artist. Hey, Ariel Colbert.
Hey, Ina.
How are you?
I'm good.
What you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you.
We've been working together for about a year now, right?
Yeah.
Right? How's your experience been here at Cossett Library? You've had some amazing programming. I just want to salute you with that. Very creative. People come out in droves to come to your programming. Tell me about your experience here at Cossett. Let's start there.
It's been interesting to say the least, but it's been fun to see the amount of people who really want to engage and expand their discipline, particularly photography.
Yeah. Yeah. When you were first approached by this concept of, you know, putting in programming for art, what did you think?
Shemichael approached me when I was photographing some stuff, and he said he needed somebody to create some type of workshops here at the space, somebody that was familiar with the community, that was a little bit younger, that could really get that 18 and to like 30 to 40 age gap in the space. And ironically, the youngest person I've had at one of the programs has been like 10, and the oldest like in their 60s. So
yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, it's been
really. What has been your favorite programming that you've instituted here?
I don't have a favorite, but they've all been fun, and I really just enjoy seeing people come out and learn and create. When, like, I have a photography series, it's usually like a 7-part series, and seeing somebody who didn't know how to work their camera to actually being able to make great photographs at the end, it really just shows how we're serving the community.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what it's all about here, you know, doing programming at the library. It's been interesting, but I have definitely been enjoying it. But like you said, like, you know, the people that come to the workshops, I'm learning a lot about myself as a, I guess, professional or creative in what I do as well. But meeting them has really inspired me. Let's start at the beginning. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from South Mississippi, Hattiesburg, to be exact.
Hattiesburg. Tell me about Hattiesburg.
It's kind of like a retirement town. It's about 1 hour from New Orleans, so a lot of trips there growing up. But it was a decent place to grow up in. I have a pretty big family.
Tell me about your family.
I have 3 younger brothers and 3 younger sisters. I'm the oldest.
Wow. The oldest.
Yeah, I'm the oldest.
So does everyone come to you for advice and things like that?
Sometimes, not all the time. It just depends, but I'm around if they need me. They all know that.
Yes, yes. So was the young Ariel interested in art at a young age?
Yeah, I did a lot of stuff. I did ballet, I did tap, I did gymnastics for a little bit. I used to play the cello, and then I shifted into sports, and then into photography.
Sports? What kind of sports?
I ran track.
Mm-hmm. Were you fast?
I was all right.
You had to stay active, huh?
Yeah, just something to do. My mom makes sure we all were doing some type of extracurriculars.
Mm-hmm. Were you into art? Like, you know.
Yeah, I picked up a camera like my junior year of high school. So I worked for the school newspaper and yearbook.
Were you good then?
that was the start of something new. I can say that. Yeah. I was a rookie. Yeah. Everybody got to start somewhere.
Yeah. What high school did you go to?
I went to Oak Grove High School.
Oak Grove. Is it still around today?
Yes.
Yes. Like, girl, I'm so old. I be thinking, like, because, like, the high schools I've went to, some of them are not around anymore. Oh, yeah. It's like a new name.
It's still a pretty big high school for Mississippi standards.
Do you go back?
No.
No? I think you will be at some point giving back.
I mean, I visit my college, university, more than my high school, but all of my siblings have graduated and are in college, so there's really no reason for me to go back.
Yeah. So let's talk about your college experience. You attended Ole Miss?
Yes, I attended the University of Mississippi from 2014 to 2018.
How was that experience?
I enrolled in the university because they gave me a full ride scholarship. Mm-hmm. I had planned to go somewhere else, but my mom was like, it's free, so you're going. Freshman year, stayed on campus. I started working at the student newspaper there and just started to get my feet wet on campus.
Mm-hmm. Anything? Student newspaper, you were taking photos.
Yeah, my freshman year, I was working as like a staff photographer. And my sophomore through junior year, I was the photo editor. And my senior year, I was the photo editor for the school yearbook.
So did you enjoy your time there?
Oh, yeah. It taught me a lot and prepared me for the industry I currently work in.
Okay. Any challenges?
I think the craziest thing, well, not craziest, my campus, the University of Mississippi, through our NAACP chapter and Black Student Union, my university was the first Mississippi like school to remove the old Mississippi state flag with the Confederate emblem from campus, and that kind of like triggered all of the other colleges in Mississippi to also remove the state flag, and that eventually led to Mississippi getting a new flag.
When that happened on campus, was that like a big deal? Did some students didn't want to remove? Like, was that really like, you know, the hot thing on campus?
It was a pretty big deal because we were seen as the flagship school of the state. It was a the Black community on campus really stuck together to get it taken down. There were a lot of protests. At one point, there were some members of the Klan that came to campus with loaded shotguns to protest it, but I believe they're still in jail now. Okay. But I feel like it was just amazing to see how the student body really stuck together for change. So
yes, and you said the Black community on the campus of Ole Miss. What did that look like for you?
Was it
a small community or?
I mean, obviously we were the minority on campus, but there are people I met throughout my time there that are still like some of my dearest friends today. So we were pretty tight knit. Like, you know, everybody, like I still run into people that'll be like, did you go to such and such? I was like, yeah. And they was like, yeah, I remember you. So like, once you're there, you get to know, you might not know everybody, but you know their face at least. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how tight-knit it was.
Okay. And upon graduation, what did Ariel Colbert do?
After I graduated, I went up to the DMV area and I worked for the Daily Press in Newport News, Virginia. Then I came back down to Memphis and I finished up some more academia work in Oxford. I would travel down once a week. And I worked for a film company. It was named Pigeon Roost. It's now expanded to different things. And then I started working for a USA Today newspaper, The Commercial Appeal. And I really just started navigating different avenues of visual storytelling.
Yes. And you've been featured in a lot of major publications. Tell me about that.
I started freelancing in about 2021, just working on my own, and I've worked for just a variety of magazine outlets and news outlets, just telling stories visually, whether it be Smithsonian, Nat Geo, CNN, Bloomberg Businessweek Magazine, Washington Post, New York Times, just like a lot of different publications that have given me the opportunity to tell stories for them.
That is major, Ariel. And you're so young, like you have so much of your career ahead of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm just proud to know you, lady. And like, again, I love your work that you do here, especially those installations. They just really set a fire here in the city and beyond. Tell me about how you came up with those installations.
I know back in like 2019, 2020, before COVID really shut down everything, I started like building them in my backyard. And
why did you do that? Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this big empty box and make something of it.
I just be bored, honestly. But
that's true creative.
So I created a much smaller version of it back in 2020. COVID happened. Some family stuff happened. And then when did the library open? 2023. I decided to do it on a larger scale. So I started sketching out some designs, partnered with a contractor to make them more stable and safe. And I kind of just got to work. They're just something that come from, I just like to make stuff.
Now, do you have a favorite of those that you've created?
Not really. I like them all. I have some least favorites.
What's your least favorite? I'm gonna see if that's my favorite.
That was the one that had the disco ball in it.
I liked that one.
I feel like it could have been a little bit more polished, but you know, working with limited materials.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you're a perfectionist?
I mean, I'm an artist. I'm sensitive about my stuff. Hey! Whatever Erykah Badu said.
Okay. Now, one thing that we didn't mention, like you, because you've worked with a lot of companies in different areas in this industry. I know you said you went to the DMV area, but you came back. Why did you come back to this side?
My college advisor hit me up and said there was, with one of my minors, it was just some more academic work that she suggested that I do. So I just mm-hmm. came back. I didn't want to live in Oxford, so I decided to live in Memphis because I only had to be in Oxford one day a week.
Gotcha. And in Memphis, since, you know, we all live, work, and play here, specifically for you, Ariel, what does the art community look like in Memphis to you from your lens?
I mean, I came as, like, an outsider. There was one way I got to meet a lot of artists. There was this event called Tuesdays, T-O-O-Z-D-A. Mm-hmm. I'm probably spelling it wrong. And one of my... there's Jared Boy. He went to the same college I did. He was a few years older, and he told me about it. So that's kind of how I met a lot of creatives there. And that's,
I remember that. I remember him promoting that.
Yeah, so I met a lot of Memphis artists in that space and just going out to things while I was still working for a newspaper. So I had access to a lot of stuff as well. And so I just, whenever I was out working, that's usually how I would meet people. Because I guess people in Memphis, they recognize if somebody's new and if they're not from here. So they'd be like, who are you?
Mm-hmm. But has the response been pretty good for you?
I feel like I haven't had any traumatic experiences or anything like mm-hmm. that. I've tried to, like, navigate the different scenes, and regardless of where I'm at, I'm always going to succeed in my craft. So that's kind of how I look at things. I've met some really cool people here, like I've met you.
Yes. Tell me about where Ariel wants to take her career at this point, because you've done a lot so far.
I definitely want to build more installations for large establishments. Like, I have some in the library. I've did some for the Brooks Museum, and there are some other companies and entities that are interested in Memphis. Memphis is, ironically, a big nonprofit city, and it makes it really hard sometimes to, like, get grants and, like, secure those mm-hmm. opportunities, because there's so many people going after them. So maybe just, like, expanding my location and getting them in, like, just other vicinities, because people really do seem to enjoy them.
Okay. And so I guess installations, just more so.
Yeah, and just navigating the fine art world. Like, photos are out there a lot, like in news outlet and magazines and whatnot, but I do have some of my images that are in, like, a museum's permanent collection. So just getting my art and getting my images in more museums.
What other museums would you like to work with?
Any respectable establishment that would just like to see my work.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. How do you balance, you know, the work that you do here? Because you are very focused, organized, proactive. Some things I wish I was more with my programming. However, with that being said, how do you balance your personal life with your career?
I think I'm just really good at scheduling and just having a good balance. So, and I usually work ahead of time, like all of the programming that's about to start this week, I planned that like months ago. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it works. I think that's why it lays out so smoothly. Like we have a 7-part photography series that I partner with Grind City Me to bring people in. And so I've been like working behind the scenes to make sure that goes smoothly. With like my personal assignments, luckily I'm part-time at the library. This is not my full-time job or anything like that, so whenever I do have an assignment, I'm just like, hey, I gotta go. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of have like boundaries set to just make sure everything runs smoothly, and I'm just a really organized person.
You are, and I applaud that. Have you had a mentor?
I've had several mentors along the way. During college, one of my old professors, Alicia Steele, she's the professor that really helped get my website together. Like, that was one of my assignments throughout college. My senior year was, like, just build my website so it looks polished. And I still get peer reviews now. A couple of weeks ago, I was one of the New York Times portfolio reviews, where you get to meet with a bunch of different editors across the country, and you have to apply online. And I think for the day I picked, there were like over 2,000 people that applied for the portfolio review, and I was one of the 80 people selected.
That's awesome.
For the virtual session. So I got to talk with the photo editor from Rolling Stones, New York Times, and just like two other entities. I can't remember the name of them right now, but mm-hmm. So you have these other professionals that are looking at my work and going over things, so I'm always getting peer reviews, because mm-hmm. there's always something I can tighten up on or have more polished.
Now, do you ever mentor others?
I mean, in a sense, that's what these workshops are for, and I currently work with CAM. It's a summer fellowship for high school mm-hmm. kids. It was founded by Derek Folger, an amazing artist that's from Memphis. And we pretty much work with high school kids to pretty much, like, for them to learn about art and polish up their portfolio. I know they teach them about balancing money as an artist, pretty much just mentoring the next generation. Mm-hmm. And so I do that. And I'll just, like, the programs here, even though some people are, like, old enough to be my parents, I still give them, like, try to give them the tools they need to succeed.
Yeah. Any challenges as a Black woman in this industry that you are in, have you experienced?
I feel like navigating life as just like a person of color, particularly a Black woman, you're always going to experience some form of microaggressions wherever you go. Yeah. It's just an unfortunate truth. And growing up as a young Black woman from the South, the women in my life always told me, the way people perceive me has nothing to do with who I am, but everything to do with who they are. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how I've learned to look at it, because I don't want anybody's views of me to reflect on how I see myself. Mm-hmm. And there have been times I showed up to assignments, people have either thought I was an intern or it was like, oh, I was expecting a man, but I just brush it off. And there have been plenty of times where I'm on set, I might be the only Black person or the only Black photographer or the only woman photographer. Mm. And, like, most fields are male-dominated. I feel like there is always going to be glass.
You're right.
There's always going to be glass ceilings that somebody has to break. So I'm just doing my part wherever I go.
Yeah. So this space is pretty much male-dominated, but the women are in it. And as you mentioned, sometimes you're on set, you're the only Black woman. How does that make you feel?
I mean, at this point, I'm kind of used to it. I used to be like when I first started, I was like, well, and now I'm just like, oh, it is what it is. Like, yeah. And I just carry myself accordingly and get my job done. Mm-hmm. Because I can't spend too much time worrying about that or either. And I won't be able to complete my work. But if I do see anything that's misrepresentative of like people of color or whatever we're doing, I'll be like, no, you're going to have to cut that out.
Yeah. How can we get more black women in this space?
With journalism, traditionally speaking, I know most organizations usually hire people that have like some type of journalism or communication degree, but college is really expensive. Mm-hmm. So I know some organizations are looking to hire photographers outside of like having those traditional pieces of paper, but I'm trying to really think because I took the traditional,
route.
I took the traditional route, and that did help me meet people and get into the space. But there are ways you can still tell stories and pitch them to news organizations, or just tell stories and maybe pitch them to like museums or different type of editorial ways. It doesn't always have to be traditional by any means.
Okay. Who are some artists in your space that you look up to?
I am so bad with names, but I do follow like a lot of women on social media that are photographers. Like if you're trying to find a bunch of photographers, like particularly black women, you should follow Black Women Photograph on Instagram. There's this whole organization like that's built around like black women photographers. And like I know they have meetups, you can sign up to be a part of the organization. I'm part of Diversify Photo. It was created by a photo editor at New York Times named Brent, where it's just like for if you're looking for like a list of different photographers that are POCs in different states, like you can go down that list and find people. But I would just say, depending on what type of art you create, hop on Pinterest or any of the social media platforms and just find people that create art that you like or you want to create or are inspired by. That's kind of how I find people.
Gotcha. Now, I know you from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, but we about to get real Memphis. I need you to repeat after me, okay?
Lord.
In your best Memphis voice.
Okay? I ain't got it.
Repeat after me. Amen, say mine. I needed to come from the gut.
Y'all too loud for me.
She said we too loud. One more time. Ariel, I need you to be a little louder. Amen, say mine. Okay, we'll take that. This is a moment of transparency between you and I. And I simply want to know, Ariel, what do you like to do outside of the art world? What does Ariel like to do?
I like going on walks in parks with my dog, just like being outside and being active. I like to travel.
Travel. Let's talk about travel. Where do you like to go?
During college, I studied abroad a lot. So I spent some time in Zimbabwe, Zambia, Johannesburg, Namibia.
How was that?
It's beautiful. And then I spent some time in Asia and Sri Lanka. I really like Puerto Rico. Plan to go to Europe next year because I've been to Africa and Asia, but I've never been to Europe. And yeah, Puerto Rico is probably one of my favorite places. I'll probably retire there.
And I'm still waiting on my invite on a girl trip soon, okay? Because I know, you know, we often talk about your travels. I know you went to, and this is just stateside, you saw Beyonce how many times?
I only saw her once.
You saw her one time, but that was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it was cool. I'm glad I went to go see the Renaissance show. It was really good. If I'm gonna spend money on an artist, I like to know I'm getting my money's worth. You get to see a full production.
Yeah, and you know what, Ariel, you have your own sense of fashion too. I love how you create with your fashions as well. Do you often hear that from people?
Sometimes I just put on. I'm an artist, so I just put on what I feel that day.
Yeah.
And I like to be comfortable, but like.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Well, I appreciate you for coming on the Verbally Effective Podcast. See, that wasn't so bad, was it? I want you to let the audience know how they can continue to follow Ariel Colbert's journey and how they can participate in the programming here as you are the artist in residence for all things photo, journalist, art, interdisciplinary. See how I say that word?
Lord have mercy. my website is arieljcobert.com. My Instagram is arieljcobert. I'm pretty sure it's my name throughout all social media platforms. You can find any programming I'm doing on my social medias or CASA Library social media. This month we have a 7-part photography workshop series. We'll be having a film photography workshop, automotive, long exposure. We'll be teaching people how to work their cameras. There'll be an editing session, a photo wall, all the above. You can find it all on my social media or CASA's.
And I need to schedule some time with you because you know that camera I have, that EV10.
You need to come on to the workshop where there are people that are going to actually teach you how to work your camera.
I do. Any final words for someone out there that would love to do what you're doing right now in your career? Any advice for, you know, these young ladies and gentlemen?
Just keep pushing there. Like, keep looking for opportunities, internships, art residencies, fellowships, all the above. There are a lot of opportunities, and you just got to keep pushing until all it takes is one yes.
Yes, it does. Well, thank you so much, Ariel Colbert. You know, we have enjoyed our time with you here in Memphis. Hopefully, you'll stay long. Once again, I really, really love the work that you're doing here, and keep up the great programming that you have here at CASA, and everything that you're doing outside of that has been, you know, so creative and innovative. So salute to you, Ariel.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Once again, I want to thank my guest, Ariel Colbert. She is the photojournalist, interdisciplinary artist in residence here at CASA Library. Make sure you guys follow her journey and add her on social media. Hit her up if you have any questions. Thank you once again for tuning in to the Verbally Effective Podcast with your double E, Ina Esco. Hit that subscribe button on that Ina Esco YouTube channel and follow the pod on all social media platforms at